This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Depth Dive. Today we're jumping straight into the world of artificial intelligence. It's moving so fast. Our mission really is to unpack the latest AI developments from, well, just today, August 15th, 2025. We want to give you a shortcut, cut through the noise, and focus on the breakthroughs, the challenges, and yeah, the ethical stuff too.
Exactly. It's about distilling what matters from all these different angles. You know, you've got medical breakthroughs, hardware issues, tricky ethical questions. We want to help you connect those dots, maybe spark some aha moments about what this all means right now.
Okay, let's dive in. Starting with something pretty hopeful, I think. AI designing new antibiotics. This MIT research sounds incredible.
It really is. What's fascinating here is how this could genuinely lead to maybe a second golden age for antibiotics.
Right, because bacteria are evolving faster than our drugs.
Precisely. And AI, it can explore these chemical spaces that humans might just never think of. It could shift discovery from just playing catch-up to actually designing solutions proactively.
So the details here. MIT researchers trained AI models. They generated, get this, 36 million theoretical compounds, then screen them for killing bacteria and, crucially, being safe for humans.
That scale is just immense.
And the algorithms came up with two new ones, NG1 and DN1. And the amazing part, they attack bacteria in ways we've apparently never seen before in antibiotics.
The completely new mechanisms.
Yeah. Both worked in mice, too. DN1 tackled MRSA skin infections. NG1 fought drug-resistant gonorrhea. Pretty significant results.
It really shows the potential. Navigating those unexplored areas is key. It's a move towards proactive design, like I said.
Okay, so shifting gears slightly, but related. AI's reasoning ability in medicine. This is where things get really interesting. We're talking GPT-5.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one. GPT-5 actually performed better than licensed doctors on MedExpert QA. And that's, you know, one of the most advanced medical reasoning tests out there right now.
The numbers are quite stark. Plus 24.23% better reasoning, plus 29.40% better understanding compared to human experts. Even just looking at text, the gains were big. Plus 15.22% in reasoning, plus 9.40% in understanding.
And MedExpert QA isn't simple stuff. It's multimodal, right?
Exactly. Clinical notes, lab results, images, patient history, the whole picture. The source even said GPT-5 outdiagnosed the people who wrote the test.
Wow. So connecting this to the bigger picture, this isn't just recalling facts. It's showing expert-level judgment, even with uncertainty, with ambiguity, things that are hard for humans.
Yeah.
This could really be a turning point for getting AI into real-world medical practice. But it does raise a tricky question. If AI reasons better on these tests, what does expiry even mean anymore? Who decides?
That's a heavy question. Okay, so if AI is getting this smart, what about getting it onto our devices, making it accessible?
Right, the accessibility piece is huge.
Google seems to be making strides here with smaller AI models.
Yeah, this is fascinating. We're seeing massive gains in the smallest corner of the AI world, making AI capable of running on pretty much any consumer device, your phone, your browser.
So it's not just stuck in giant data centers anymore.
Exactly. And it's not just Google. Liquid AI's LFM2 just came out too, pushing that competition for on-device models.
Okay, so Google released Gemma 3270M, even smaller than their previous Gemma models. It runs directly on smartphones, browsers, etc. Supposedly very efficient, but still capable.
And the performance for its size.
Apparently, it outperforms other small models at following instructions. They did internal tests. 25 conversations on a Pixel 9 Pro used less than 1% of the battery.
Wow, that's efficient.
Yeah. And developers can tweak it quickly for specific tasks. Awesome. They showed off a bedtime story generator that works offline.
Very cool. Offline creativity.
And speaking of consumer devices, maybe on our faces, the wearable AI competition seems to be heating up. HTC's Vive Eagle glasses.
Yeah, this space is definitely one to watch. I mean, Zuck himself said personal devices like glasses are the future of computing.
Right.
And the designs are getting, you know, more normal looking, more subtle. It feels like maybe these kinds of products are getting close to actually breaking through to the mainstream.
So these Vive Eagle glasses from HTC, they're aiming right at Meta's Ray-Bans. One interesting thing, users can apparently choose between OpenAI or Google AI for the assistant.
Your choice is good.
Activated with Hey Vive. And privacy seems key here. They have real-time photo translation for 13 languages, uses the camera, but it's all processed locally.
That's a big selling point, the local processing.
Definitely. Plus, 12MP ultra-wide camera, better battery life, video, music, the works. They're only in Taiwan for now, though. And pricier than the Ray-Bans, about $520 versus $300.
So a premium option, but with more features, perhaps.
Seems like it. Okay, but... It's not all just cool gadgets and breakthroughs, is it? We have to talk about some of the serious ethical discussions happening, like this Meta AI rules thing.
Ugh, yeah. This really brings up the critical need for incredibly careful ethical oversight, especially when you're dealing with AI interacting with vulnerable groups like kids. And the transparency around how these rules are even made, it's paramount.
It really is. So an internal Meta document for their chatbots, it had a policy allowing them to engage kids in romantic or sensual conversations.
That's deeply concerning.
Yeah. And these guidelines were apparently approved by Meta's legal and ethics teams. There was even an example of an okay flirty reply to someone identified as a high schooler.
Wow.
Now, Meta said the document was real, but called those notes erroneous, claimed the rules are gone now, no more provocative stuff with kids allowed. But, you know, the fact they existed at all, that raises huge questions.
Absolutely. It highlights the challenge of governance, of accountability. It's not just a Meta issue. It's industry-wide.
A really tough balancing act. And then there's the whole geopolitical side of AI. That adds another layer of complexity. Let's talk about the challenges Chinese AI companies are facing, specifically DeepSeek.
Right. This is really interesting because it shows how the hardware, the chips, are still a major factor. DeepSeek had to delay their next big model, R2.
And why is that?
They apparently couldn't get it trained properly using Chinese Huawei Ascend chips.
Ah, so they were trying not to use NVIDIA?
Well, reports suggest they were, let's say, encouraged by Chinese authorities to use Huawei's chips after their first model, R1, did well on NVIDIA. Beijing is pushing hard for this technological self-sufficiency.
But it didn't work out for training R2.
Seems not. They ran into persistent technical problems with the Ascend chips, ended up having to use NVIDIA for the heavy lifting, the training, and then maybe Huawei for inference, the actual running of the model.
I mean, with Huawei engineers helping?
Apparently, yeah. They sent engineers, but still no successful training run on Ascend reported. And that delay meant DeepSeek lost ground to rivals.
So what's the issue with the Chinese chips, according to insiders?
The reports mention stability problems, slower connectivity compared to NVIDIA. The DeepSeek founder was supposedly pretty unhappy about it.
So what's fascinating here, or maybe worrying, depending on your perspective?
Well, it highlights that Chinese semiconductors for these really demanding AI tasks still seem to be lagging behind the U.S. It undermines that whole push for self-reliance. And there are even reports Beijing is making companies justify orders for NVIDIA's chips now, trying to push the domestic ones.
Shows how intertwined the tech and geopolitics are. Wow. Okay, so what a range we've covered today in this deep dive. From AI finding new drugs, diagnosing better than doctors, to AI running on your phone, new smart glasses, and then hitting those really tough ethical questions and the hard realities of chip manufacturing and global competition.
It really brings up an important question, doesn't it? As AI keeps expanding so fast, touching everything, our health, privacy, global supply chains, what's our role? What active part do we as, you know, informed citizens, users, what role do we need to play in shaping where this goes, ensuring it's developed responsibly?
That's the core of it, isn't it? Thinking about how these things connect. The new antibiotic, the AI on your phone, the glasses, the chip problems, that chatbot policy, they're not separate issues. They're all threads in this huge unfolding story of AI. And understanding that helps you make sense of it all, helps you make choices. So, yeah. Keep exploring, keep asking questions. That seems crucial right now.